and I titled my message this week, A New Covenant. Jesus gave us a wonderful thing in the scriptures. He said that we are commanded to love one another. That's a commandment, to love one another. But he also said that we have to kind of look and how to learn to be able to have a relationship with one another. And sometimes that's really hard because we have a tendency in our societies to, you know, want to swim against the tide or go with the flow and all the other kind of things. Well, we were talking last week about, or when before Judy and I went on a little time down in Panama City, we were talking about fishing. Literal fishing, rod and reel and a lure and all that stuff. And then fishing, which is a thing that people use to kind of trap you into an email or something that you respond to and it's not what you thought it was. And that happened even at the conference, at the Florida conference, happened with the bishop. And then last week or week before last, it happened with us somehow or another. Somebody got a hold of an email address that I never use and related it into the church website and got information and sent out a message that I was looking for people to give me gift cards and so forth so I could help you. Thank God, I don't think anybody got lured into it. But, you know, it's tough out there. So I said all that to say this. Do you know about salmon? Do you know about all these other kind of fish? Salmon are very interesting. They hatch in fresh water. And did you know that salmon swim to the ocean to live out their lives and then they return again to fresh water? That's kind of interesting. They can go salt water, fresh water, but when they come back to the fresh water, they come back to spawn. And when the tide turns, they literally swim upstream against the current in order to reach their spawning ground. Now, I love salmon, but I don't get to eat it much because Judy's allergic to it. But salmon are very interesting and wonderful fish. And they have a strong instinct behavior for them to swim against the flow, which is driven by their need to spawn or to reproduce. That drive to reproduce is also the key how we can carry our faith. We have an astute old saying in our languages, and its origination is unknown, but it goes this way, all the way back to the time of the Romans. Only dead fish go with the tide. Sometimes in order to reproduce, whether it's fish or faith, you've got to swim against the tide. But what does that mean for us? What does that mean with what Jesus talked about in Scripture? That if somebody hits you on the cheek, turn the other cheek and all that kind of stuff. Hard sayings of Jesus. Well, according to the Scripture that we are using today, it means that we must go against our gut instinct sometimes when it comes to people that we don't like, who have treated us badly or who differ from us in any way, shape, or form. And we are commanded to love them, not tolerate them, not ignore them, not shut them out, or even worse, demonize them, but to love them. Now, if you think that Jesus pushed us in an uncomfortable age in the past, I think that you'll find this current challenge he's given us to be a real doozy, if you would. But Jesus has a point, and he always has a point, doesn't he? He said, well, gosh, people, it's easy to love your friends. They're already your friends. Even the gnarliest folk love their own friends. It's easy to be kind to people who are kind to you. It's simple reciprocation, right? And sure, it's easy to make a loan to somebody knowing and expecting you're going to get it back. It's all easy peasy, all good here. But Jesus said that's not discipleship. That's just the general consensus that everyone can subscribe to. But discipleship is hard. Discipleship goes beyond reciprocation. It does the really hard thing that nobody else has the courage or the moxie to do. Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ love people that are really hard to love. Amen? They are kind to people who aren't kind to them. They loan to people without expectation of getting it back. Why? Because that's what God would do. He said, now listen to this, because I bet we would like to just gloss over this one. You will be children of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. What in the world did He just say? Well, I think God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. That's what He said. Wait a minute. Weren't we expecting God to, you know, like smite them or something, or strike down the wicked, or send fiery flames and cut them off and judge them harshly as they have behaved harshly? But that's not the vision of God that Jesus teaches, does it? No, Jesus assures us God is with us. Best and truthful voice, that God is much more merciful than we like to imagine. Certainly much more merciful than we like to hope for. Isn't that the story of Jonah? It sure is. Jesus perfectly clear. As Jesus, we are to do the opposite of what our culture would do. The opposite of what we as humans might expect to do. We are to love those who sin. Can you imagine that? Those who seem ungrateful, those who reject us, those who even seem to us to be wicked. For that's our job. It says that basically in Discipleship 101. In the Jesus book, you know, of the way. Jesus is the way to life and how we can have it more abundantly. It was called the way before they were called Christians. Anyhow, I digress, but guess what? I don't have to tell you. Jesus' challenge is not easy. So what do you do when loving is difficult and forgiveness feels near impossible? Well, the scripture today that I read leaves us with a few clues, and I'd like to call them the Big Seven of Jesus. Seven things. First thing is this. We must treat every human being with due respect and to see them the way God sees them, as a person of worth, created by God in God's image, like you and me. And then the second thing we must do is do to others as we would have them do to us. Now, we might be thoughtful and not reactive. That's what we got to be, just thoughtful. We must be forgiving and condoning. We must learn to live our lives to go from coping to capable. And the sixth thing, we must affirm that love is a commitment, not a mere response. And the seventh and last thing is this. If all of that fails, we must remind ourselves that measure for measure is real, and it gets us nowhere. You know, what goes around comes around. Well, sometimes, especially in the contentious waters of our current culture, we must widen our hearts. Instead of seeing sharks and stingrays and eels, we must merely see fish all swimming together in God's great ocean of the world. We must hold our judging eyes and remember that we all wear logs in our eye. The moment that we can see someone as a fellow human being with fears and anxieties and doubts, assumptions and experiences and hopes and dreams that we have hurled over our greatest log, when we demonize others, we take away their humanity and view them as objects rather than wrong subjects or interests, and we don't agree. You got to be curious. You got to be not judgmental. You got to learn about someone with differing views. That's hard. Blood, after all, may be thicker than water. Can we really hope for the best for our neighbors and our friends? even if the success appears to us unfair or opposed to what we hope for them or ourselves. How selfish are we? Really? Are we? Deep down inside? You know, we, growing up as kids, we were very selfish when we were little, and we turned as we grow. We then eventually maybe not as selfish, but that selfish nature is in us, isn't it? It's called the golden rule. You know, Abraham Lincoln used that a lot. Now, he didn't coin the phrase the golden rule. That phrase was coined way back in England in the either 1600s, late 1600s, early 1700s. But it is something, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But the principle of the golden rule is in the scripture that I read earlier. Now, we can practice our listening skills and truly hear what our neighbor is saying without reacting, can't we? For reactions are reciprocal. You know, you kick my dog and I'll stomp your cat and all that kind of stuff. It goes on and on and on, and it generally leads to further reactions, which can then escalate into unhelpful sniping. Listening, however, oh, I love this. I have a hard time with it, too. It's not easy, but listening, however, is a subtle, praised enough skill that it can allow us to acknowledge our differences and still love our bonds as friends and neighbors, our fellow human beings. Listening can be our greatest sign of respect. Not only that, listening is a great diffuser and one of our best loving responses. Now comes the really hard part. We can be forgiving without still condoning. We don't need to agree with somebody or to be in their shoes in order to let them walk. No, forgiving does not mean that what someone has done to us is okay. No, forgiving does not mean that you're agreeing with the vitriol or letting them off the hook, so to speak. It does mean, though, that you'll no longer hold on to the fishing lure that keeps your mind and heart bound to them, hook and line and sinker. Most often, our emotional anger, hurt, feelings, betrayal come from our need and desire to change the person who harmed us. To make them see it, you know, you got to see it my way. You got to make them love us back. And sometimes, you just have to let them go. It's the loving thing to do, because true love is a one-way commitment. It's not reciprocal giving. As long as you keep someone bound to you, that person will control your reactions. The moment that you let go of your anger, you've been set free. And when you can love without expecting love back, you are free to set a boundary that'll make sure that they can never harm you again. But this is called taking the reins into your own hands. No longer must you simply cope with a bad relationship or a toxic culture or a visceral environment. No, you can become capable of loving them enough to let them go. Because love is a commitment. And while it's a two-way covenant, is God's highest vision for our lives and relationship, loving is not dependent on reciprocity. Everyone who had teenagers growing up or been a teenager, I think we all have done that. And Jesus tells us if all this great wisdom is not enough to help us be the kind of disciples who can navigate the currents of our culture wisely and reproductively, there's always the Jewish concept. Measure for measure. It's kind of our conception of karma. Trust me. He says, what you do will come back to you. Behaving badly never benefits anybody in the end. But love well, and you'll be surprised at the abundance of life that comes swimming your way. For many of us right now, I think discipleship may be the hardest thing that we'll ever undertake. Loving in the face of dissension make you feel like you're struggling to swim upstream. But remember this, that's what disciples do. They swim when others give up. They reproduce love in an uncommon circumstance. So our prayer as we continue to grow in grace and the situations that we're in and the world that we're in and the country we're in, my prayer for all of us is your greatest desire, your most driving instinct as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, be above all in love. John Riley, my friend, he's been to our church, if you remember. He always said, you know, God commanded us to love one another. Boy, is that hard, but it's a commandment. But he also said, yeah, you got to love them, but you don't have to go fishing with them. Well, I hope and pray that you're having a good day. And, yeah, some of these things are hard. And being a disciple of Christ is not the easiest thing because it kind of goes against the grain or goes against the culture. But in the end, it is love. It is the greatest gift that we have ever received from Christ because he first loved us before we loved him. And if you're really in love with Jesus, then you can handle all this stuff and you don't get all bent out of shape. Well, initially it might hurt, but if you just say, Lord, vengeance is mine, you told me. So here I give this to you. I don't like them, but I love them. Have a good day. In Jesus' name, amen.